I want us to begin with a word of prayer before we get into the lesson, if you'd bow with me. Almighty Father, you are holy and you are worthy of all of our praise, and all honor and glory and power is yours. We confess, Father, that we are far too prideful. And so we ask, Father, that you help us to humble ourselves and become like little children that just want to simply come believing in you and receiving what you give. Help us to come with the spirit of a child this morning as we worship you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Recent events that have transpired the last month or so in our country, laws that have been passed, things that have been celebrated, have demonstrated, I think, the fact that we need to re-examine what the Bible says about the value of children. In Western culture, which in America we have been historically greatly influenced by the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, we have historically in this country had a rather high view of children. And yet in certain places in our culture that seems to be waning. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 18. I want to share it with you. This is the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Luke 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, your translation may say children or babies, but literally in the original text, the word that is used here means infants. You may think of, in your mind, a picture you might have seen painted or drawn of Jesus teaching and elementary school children surrounding him and coming to meet with him. But literally, people were bringing their smallest infants and babies to Jesus. Luke 18, begin at verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Christians have always had a high view for the value of children. And rightfully so, because that view comes from Jesus himself. Jesus, unlike even maybe some of us too often, unlike us, Jesus was never annoyed by children. He was never inconvenienced by them or bothered by them. But instead, Jesus welcomed the children to come to him. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to say when some of his disciples were not so ready to welcome the children, Jesus says, "Listen, children are at the very center of the kingdom of God. Children are not a distraction from worshiping God. In fact, quite the opposite, children serve as an example of how adults ought to come before God and worship Him. Children demonstrate a simple, trusting faith, a trust and reliance upon God. And so the only way that we as adults can enter the kingdom is to be like them, to be like a child, with simple trust in the Savior. I think sometimes we think as adults, arrogantly so, that children just need to be quiet and learn from us because we're the ones that really have the understanding. And Jesus flips it on its head and says it's not just that children need to learn from adults, but in fact, truth be known, in the nature of the kingdom, which is always upside down from the natural order of things, adults need to sit at the feet and learn from children. One of the primary ways as the Maryville Church that we are trying to be like Jesus in this regard and invite the children to come, and so that we as adults might learn from what they might teach us about spiritual things, is our ministry that we call Soul Train, which is our children's ministry here in the Maryville Church. We launched Soul Train about a year ago. It's been going strong for a year. And children in Soul Train have learned to experience the Bible. Not just listen to lessons, but to actually engage in the lessons in very tangible and interactive kinds of ways. Downstairs, every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, our children encounter six different classrooms where there are very dynamic learning environments that have been created. Let me just quickly share with you what they are. There's the Creative Cafe Art Room. In the art room, children actually participate in hands-on learning, doing crafts and projects to reinforce the Bible lessons that they're learning. In Museum for the Master, there's a specific classroom that is dedicated to learning the geography of the Bible and the history of the Bible and actually be immersive in environments that would be like what the Bible times were like. At Soul Train Stage, there is an environment there where children actually put on costumes and reenact the stories of the Bible to reinforce in a visual way the lessons that they're learning off the pages of the Bible. In Smoky Mountain Theater, there are interactive multimedia presentations that are shown that demonstrate the stories of the Bible in a visual way that the kids can capture their imagination. In the Creative Cafe Service Room, our kids are not just learning about the Bible, but actually learning that the Bible is not something to just know, but it is something to actually live. And so they're engaging in service projects to learn to live out the Bible outside of themselves by serving other people. And then there's the All Aboard Game Room, which may sound at the surface to just be like a lot of fun, and it is, but the fun is specifically designed to be a review lesson, to check the understanding, to make sure that the kids are learning valuable skills about how to navigate their Bible and learn and reinforce the lessons and the memory that of the lessons that have been emphasized in the other rooms. So let me give you just a glimpse of what's taken place over the last year down in Soul Train. The first half of last year was dedicated to a study of the Old Testament, and the children traveled in chronological order all the way from the very beginning of creation through the book of Judges. And through those studies, they built a replica of the ark. They made mud bricks, just like the Egyptians forced the Israelites to make in their captivity. They acted out and experienced the 10 plagues that took Egypt by storm, and they built and marched around Jericho's wall. The second half of the year was then transitioned to the New Testament, where children constructed a wooden barn that might have been something like the place where Jesus would have been born. They performed the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness in the stage room. They experienced the Last Supper at a low reclining at a low table in the Museum of the Master, and they watched presentations in the theater room that helped them envision what the Spirit descending on the people on the day of Pentecost would have been like. And then in order to check their understanding, in the all-aboard game room, the children sang songs and played games and engaged in hand-on activities to check their learning and of how to navigate the books of the Bible, and how to know the books of the Bible and understand geography of the Bible, as well as recite who were the 12 apostles. Now that they've transitioned through half of the Old Testament and surveyed the New Testament, they're now circling back this year to pick up where they left off in the Old Testament, right at the end of Judges, and continue through the Old Testament to its completion, and then review once again the New Testament from a different angle the remainder of the year. In the creative service room, the children learned how to not just look at themselves, but how to serve others. Let me give you a survey of how that they have been encouraged to have an awareness of the needs of others, not just themselves. Here's what they've done. They've sent military care packages with homemade cards that they made to some of our deployed servicemen and women. They've learned to recognize that it's not just life is not just about them, but they need to learn how to serve mom and dad at home with some challenges that were issued to them that they took part in. They learned to serve in some very unpleasant circumstances, actually even cleaning the church bathrooms to learn to serve outside of themselves. They packed 40 breakfast bags for children in need with a local ministry in partnership with Family Promise. They donated and shipped Bible class supplies to Albania and wrote personalized cards that were sent to some of our brothers and sisters, some of the little children in the Albania churches. They washed one another's feet while learning a lesson in humility. They collected items for Shannondale Retirement Center residents, and they actually took those and delivered those items to the residents and sang some Christmas songs to them when they delivered them. They painted gifts and wrote cards for 44 widows within this congregation that were sent to them. And they committed to supporting Victor, who is a 6-year-old orphan in Mexico whom the ministry has adopted, by writing letters, praying for him, and collecting money to support him through Compassion International sponsorship. Now, the 5th and 6th grade classes have not been left out of Soul Train, because those classes of 5th and 6th graders also followed the same topics as Soul Train, but focusing more on application and relationship with God. They've learned to effectively read the Scripture aloud and then ask questions about how to apply it to their lives. And they've also been willing to serve the younger kids by using puppets to teach, and they reviewed the book of Acts very thoroughly this last year. So there's lots of exciting things that are happening in our Soul Train ministry as we're trying to create a tangible way to let the children come and to learn to help instill the kingdom in them, and then through interacting with them as adults, the volunteers and teachers are actually learning something about the kingdom too through the mouths of babes. Now, I wonder, do you want to learn some more? I've just given you a quick snapshot. But maybe you want to learn more about the Soul Train ministry and how you might get involved. There is a bulletin board across from the elevator out in the hallway that contains lots of pictures and information. There's a monthly newsletter that goes out to all parents and is available on that bulletin board as well, that'll tell you more information about the ministry. In addition, there was a survey that was conducted to try to get feedback and comments from all the parents about what's being done well or where it could be improved in teaching our children. And the comments that came back, the feedback that came back from that survey from our parents, gave us some indication that the children are really absorbing and learning so much about the Bible, and to our great delight. Now, just exactly how much are they learning and growing in their love for Jesus? We could try to tell you a lot about that, but better to hear it right from their own mouths. So we got a 3-minute video we want to share with you that will let the kids tell you just how much Soul Train is meaning to them.
Jackson, what's your favorite class?
The museum.
Why do you like it?
Because we learned about ancient Egypt. Yeah, every
Elise, what is your favorite class?
The art room.
Why do you like it?
Because we get to color different stuff, and I love painting.
Let love reach to the other side.
Camden, what's your favorite activity that we do in Soul Train?
I like to get popcorn at the movie theaters.
Let the song arise.
Emery, what was your favorite activity we've done in Soul Train?
When we got to make the Red Sea out of clay.
Who were you learning about?
Moses.
Everyone sing a new hallelujah. Hurrah.
Clay, what is your favorite activity that we've done in Soul Train?
Singing at Shenandoah.
La la, la la, let it reach to the other side.
Benjamin, what is your favorite thing about Soul Train?
My favorite thing about Soul Train is going to different classes each week and learning about different things.
Alive, come alive, let the song arise.
Let the world sing a new song, reaching out with a new hallelujah. Every son and every daughter, everyone sing a new hallelujah.
Arise.
Austin, what is your favorite thing about Soul Train?
That every week we get to learn something new about the Bible.
Alive, come alive, let the song arise, let the world.
McKinley, what do you like to do in Bible class?
I like to cross.
Hallelujah, every son and every...
Henry, what do you like about Bible class?
I want to play games.
Come alive, let the song...
Isn't that fantastic to see what those kids are learning and what they're doing downstairs? And so what we want to do, we've got, some of our kids are downstairs right now with the children's worship, but many of them, 7 and up, are up here. So I want to ask all the kiddos involved in Soul Train to come on up to the stage. I want to invite you to come up. So all the kiddos that are involved in Soul Train, come on up here. And join me, because we want to say a big thank you to everybody that's involved in Soul Train. So all the kids, come on up and join me up here. You get to be up here during the sermon time. How weird is that? Okay, and we got a lot more downstairs right now too, but here's several of the kiddos that have been a part of Soul Train, and we also want to say thank you to everybody that has made the first year of Soul Train such a huge success. That would be the teachers and the assistants and the conductors who have given so much of their time, talent, and energy to creating these learning environments. So if you have participated in any way in the Soul Train ministry for the children ages 2 to the 6th grade this year, I want to ask you to stand. So if you've participated in Soul Train in any way, ages 2 to 6. We want to say a big thank you for all of your help to make Soul Train what it has been. And I also want to give a big thank you to Jessica Wallace and Jessica Hazel, who are functioning as our directors of the Soul Train ministry. They have put in unbelievable amount of time and energy. They're here all during the week making preparation to make sure the classes are prepared and the teachers are provided with their material. So a big thank you to the Jessicas and all that they've done to help with the ministry. Now, so kiddos, thank you for coming up here with me. You can go on back down to your seats. So, according to Jesus, He said investing in the spiritual lives of our children is one of the most important works of the kingdom. Now, we can all day long just gripe and complain about what we see happening in our culture, the erosion of the home. We can gripe and complain about people not being the kind of God-honoring people that they should be, or the decisions that are being made in government regarding the value of life. But you know where what we can do, rather than just complain about it, is we can invest in the next generation. We can make a difference by pouring into the lives and forming the mind and the thinking with biblical concepts and teaching of our children. But you know what? We got to all partner together in this. Not only do we have a responsibility as parents to teach our own children and grandparents to instill these principles in our grandchildren, but we have a responsibility as a church to invest in the future of God's people. And so, you know what? We need your help. We need everybody working together. So in order to make Soul Train really function well and be the rewarding experience that we want it to be for our kids, and also, by the way, one of the best ways that you as an adult can really learn what the kingdom is all about is through interacting regularly with little children. And so if you are interested, we need always lots of people to volunteer to either be conductors in the ministry downstairs, to be teachers, to be helpers. We need all kinds of people that will be willing to step up and contribute. And a big thanks to everybody that already has. But if you would like more information, please contact or talk to either Jessica Wallace or Jessica Hazel, our Soul Train directors, and if you'd like to volunteer to help, because this is such a worthwhile ministry that is going to really make a difference for the future, not only of this church, but can make a difference looking forward in our culture as we invest in the next generation. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So this morning, we've just been celebrating the fact that we are making an investment in our children. But Jesus goes on to say that anybody that wants to receive the kingdom of God must become like a little child to enter it. So maybe this morning you've seen the beauty of the simple surrender and the learning of our children to want to know more about God, and you say, you know what, I need to return to that childhood kind of innocence. But you think, how's that possible? Because as an adult, I've done so much to sin against God, and I've not been the person that I know ought to be. And if you only knew just what all I've done, you'd say, how in the world could God accept somebody like me? And Jesus says, you know, you want that childlike innocence to return? I've done exactly what you need to ensure that. Come to me, Jesus says, and be born again. Have a brand new start. Have your sins and all of your past erased by the blood of the Lamb. Maybe you need to come to Jesus and pledge your life, commit your life to Him in repentance and baptism this morning. If that's your need, we'd love to help you. Or maybe you realize, hey, I've done that, but I've kind of gotten off track and I need to kind of return to that childlike innocence. And the way to do that is to humble yourself before God and repent and change direction and return to a childlike innocence of humility and surrender to God and go back to what you know to be God's purpose for you. If we can help you in praying toward that, or if our shepherds in some way can serve you this morning, we'd invite you to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ as we all stand together and as we sing.